I think they said it better than I could. He's alive. Good morning. Good morning. It is Easter Sunday, and we are proud to say and declare to the world that the man that they hung on a cross to die 3 days ago has not only risen, but he's very much alive. Praise God. And that is our greatest blessing today. You're listening live to Pastor Jay Rouse as we do our Easter Sunday sermon. A blessed good morning and Easter Sunday to you all, each and every one of you, on behalf of myself, my family, all the ministries affiliated with Rouse Ministries, our staff, and our volunteers. May God's grace be ever sufficient. Praise God. We were mourning and sad and grieving because they took a man with no sin and they laid him on a cross and they nailed him to the cross. But what goes up? They say comes down, but what they got rid of came back. Amen. Praise God. Only Jesus. Oh, but it is Jesus. Praise the Lord. So we're going to get ourselves moving because we want to hear from the Lord this day. We want to say a gracious good morning again to our regular listeners, praise God, to my family who is listening, and certainly to my mom, my greatest cheerleader, praise God. We went on an adventure yesterday, and she's my ride and die partner, so praise God. I thank God for my mother each and every day. And so we want to say good morning for her who's listening live in on studio, and we will break bread together later, praise God. But for now, our food will be spiritual food so we can feed our mind, body, and soul here with our ministry today. And the sermon is entitled, Wake Up. My. Let's see what the Lord has for us. But let us get ourselves together. Hallelujah. Jesus is alive. Amen.
Thank you.
Because he lives. I need to read those words for those who don't necessarily know the song. It's a classic, and it's a standard Easter Sunday morning and throughout church services. It says, God sent his son. They called him Jesus. He came to love, heal, and forgive. He lived and died to buy my pardon. An empty grave is there to prove my Savior lives. Because he lives, can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because I know he holds the future and life is worth the living. Just because he lives. How sweet to hold a newborn baby and feel the pride and joy he gives, but greater still, the calm assurance this child can face uncertain day because he lives. My, my, my. And the other verse says, and then one day I'll cross the river. I'll fight life's final war with pain. And then as death gives way to victory, I'll see the lights of glory, and I'll know he reigns because he lives. Let us look to the Lord in prayer. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we say this day, death, where is thou sting? Because of what you have sacrificed, Father God, because of the love that you have shown us, Father God, for the love that you continue to show us despite it all, we are so glad that we can say, not because he lives, but just that he does live. That 3 days he was later able to restore mankind and faith and hope, and certainly deliverance. Father God, we know we always say there's a new thing, but there's an old thing, and his name is Jesus. As many years ago as he may have died and then resurrected, he still lives this very day with us, in us, and among us. And Father, we ask that you continue to sustain us, to keep us, to guide us, to guard us, to protect us, provide for us. And more importantly, Father God, we said that you would never leave us nor forsake us. We can only hope that we do your Son justice by proclaiming and naming all things in his name, by living and remaining in his sight and giving him all the glory, because only he is worthy. We ask right now, Lord, that you watch over us and you take over right now. Have your way this day, Father God. We speak changes and we speak miracles, signs, and wonders in the glorious name of Jesus. Together we say, amen. He's everything to me. I hope he's everything to you. I know he's everything to Tri Tibet.
You were stuck in your mouth.
bow before the King. Amen. That was Ty Trabet, Everything to Me. All right, we're going to continue our word from Good Friday. So we're taking back up Luke 23, and I'll begin reading from verse 50, and we'll be reading into Luke 24. Now there was a man named Joseph, a member of the council, a good and upright man, who had not consented to their decision and action. He came from the Judean town of Arimathea, and he himself was waiting for the kingdom of God. Going to Pilate, he asked for Jesus' body, took it down, wrapped it in linen cloth, and placed it in a tomb cut in the rock, one in which no one had yet been laid. It was preparation day, and the Sabbath was about to begin. The women who had come with Jesus from Galilee followed Jesus and saw the tomb and how his body was laid in it. Then they went home and prepared spices and perfumes, but they rested on the Sabbath in obedience of the commandment. We now take over the next 3 days later in Luke 24, where it reads, on the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the women took the spices they had prepared and went to the tomb. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb, but when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were wandering about, suddenly two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. In their fright, the women bowed down and their faces to the ground. But the men said to them, why do you look for the living among the dead? My, my, my. He is not here. He has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still in Galilee? The Son of Man, he told you while he was still in Galilee, that must be delivered over to the hands of sinners, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again. Then they remembered his words. When they came back from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and to all the others. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary, the mother of James, and the others with them who told this to the apostles. But they did not believe the women, because their words seemed to them like nonsense. Peter, however, got up and ran to the tomb. Bending over, he saw the strips of linen lying by themselves, and he went away wondering to himself what had happened. Now, Jesus makes an appearance in the next few verses, but we won't read through that. We're going down to verse 36 in Luke 24, where it says, while they were talking about this, Jesus stood among them and said, peace be with you. They were startled and frightened, thinking they saw a ghost. He said to them, why are you troubled? And why do doubts rise in your minds? Look at my hands and my feet. It is I myself. Touch me and see. Not have flesh and bones, as you see I have. When he had said this, he showed them his hands and feet. And why they still did not believe it, because of joy and amazement, he asked them, do you have anything here to eat? They gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and ate it in their presence. He said to them, this is what I told you while I was still with you. Everything must be fulfilled that is written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms. Then he opened their minds so they could understand the scriptures. He told them, This is what is written. The Messiah will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day. And repentance for the forgiveness of sin will be preached in his name to all nations. I'm going to read that again. And repentance for the forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. I am going to send you what my Father had promised, but stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high. When he had led them out to the vicinity of Bethany, he lifted up his hands and blessed them. While he was blessing them, he left them and was taken up into heaven. Then they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy, and they stayed continually at the temple praising God. Amen. And our scripture for today is found in the book of Ephesians 5, verse 14 reads, "This is why it is said, wake up, sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you." My, my, my. Let us prepare to hear from the Lord. I Give Myself Away by William McDowell. This is Pastor Jay Rouse.
I give myself away. I give myself away so you can use me. I give myself away. I give myself away so you can. Come on, let him know. I give myself away. I give myself away so you can use me. I give myself away. What would happen if a generation embraced it? Come on, tell them. Here I am.
Here I am.
Let us look to the Lord. Lord, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. O Lord, my strength, my Redeemer, in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. So, we see that people have come out of the shadows. We talked more about these closet Christians. People have come out of the shadow and asked for Jesus' body, and they've wrapped it in fine linen and put it in a grave that nobody has used. You have to understand, back in those days, many bodies would go in there. But a king is fit for his own grave. Amen. A king is fit for everything that is new. We know that Mary had anointed his feet with expensive oils because it was fit for a king. Sometimes people don't necessarily know who you are, and you may just blend in humbly like everybody else, but they don't know the anointing in your life. They don't necessarily know that you are a child of a king. Amen. Praise God. And so you continue to go your way and do your thing, knowing that you have a purpose and a mission to fulfill. And that's what our Lord Jesus did. And so these dedicated women of theirs, you know the type of women. We've all got women in our lives who are like that. They fuss and they muss and they go about dealing with everything and take care of everything, and they have control over everything, and then they turn around and they get things in order. And ironically enough, Good Friday was preparation day. They were preparing for Passover. And so they were busy doing those things, but with the Lord being put on a cross and giving up his last breath and handing himself over to God, and they now had to put him in a grave. But what I found very interesting was at the end of Luke 23, it said here, the women who had come with Jesus from Galilee followed Joseph. They went to go and attend to their Jesus' needs, and even in death. We all do this. We all do this. We realize spiritually they are no longer with us, and they are in a better place because God has promised that there is a place. Amen? Praise God. But we still take care of our loved ones even after they are gone on and moved on. And we still do what we can for the physical body, because when you love somebody, you take care of that somebody. You want the best for that somebody. And you go about doing all that you are capable of doing in life and in death. So then they went. And after they went home and prepared spices and perfumes. Now, this is what got me. He says, but they rested on the Sabbath in obedience to the commandment. Now, what I like as an author, I love to write stories and I storytell and I tell different things. And I loved to read when I was young. I read so many books. I was a typical bookworm. And I like that Luke 23 closes off that chapter and they go to sleep. Little do we remember and recall, much like the disciples who have soon forgotten along with these ladies, because we are always told important things and we tend to forget until we are reminded. But Jesus had to tell them, because you'll notice 3 days later, they awoke the next morning. Because Luke 24 follows up with, and the ladies got up early. It says, on the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the women took the spices that they had prepared and went to the tomb. Keep in mind, this was 3 days ago. But yet still, they were busy doing their Passover and doing everything else. I'm sure they had family and friends. And if you recall, Mary now has a new son to take care of. Amen? Because Jesus handed her another son. And so these women, 3 days later, and sometimes we don't recall, we may not remember, but we just do something and we never understand why we're doing it. You know, I'm sure they could have stayed in bed and relaxed, but it knew in their heart of their heart that they had planned to do something. And who's to say what happened during those 3 days? Life went about its ordinary self. We get busy with life and doing things, and I'm sure they were cooking up a storm like most of us have done today, and they're getting ready for celebration of Passover and everything else, and they're still sort of grieving and sad, but they still continue on. But there's something in their spirit that would have said, okay, you need to get up early and wake up and go and take the spices that you prepared 3 days ago and do what you prepared to do. Now, we always have things that we need to do and we wake up. Some of us get up in the morning and we're excited to go to work, and some of us get up in the morning and, well, we keep thinking, is it Saturday, because then we don't have to go to work. But when something in your spirit wakes you up, you need to be obedient and you need to wake up. So they got up and they went. Now, anybody could have went. Anybody could have come and gone. But these ladies waited 3 days. They probably have no idea why they waited 3 days. But on that third day, they were led to get up early in the morning, and the women took the spices they had prepared and went to the tomb. And they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. Now, I'm sorry, I don't know about these ladies, but I'm a minister and I have buried many a folk. But I can assure you, I am not going to walk into a closed tomb by myself with me and my girlfriend, and we're going to casually go in there with some spices and go into this cave looking for a body. But for some unknown reason, these women took their stuff and they went to this tomb, and this massive stone that blocked it was rolled away, and they were probably very confused, and without thinking, they just walked in. And the fear only came after the angels appeared and said, because the women were so frightened that they said they bowed down their faces to the ground. Now, that kind of caught my attention. When you're afraid of something, do you usually bow? Or did they think it was Jesus? But it says here, in fright, the women bowed down their faces to the ground, and the men said to them, why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. Now, we as Christians are continuously looking for the living among the dead. We look for good and positive things in a negative situation, but we also seem to bring ourselves into situation where we are hanging around and living our lives among the spiritual dead. My. When we need to be alive. Now, after these women ran off because they had to go and tell everybody, and typical male, they did not believe them. And so Jesus appeared amongst some of them. But what I found most important in this is not so much that these women ran to tell, but there was a reason why they had to wake up in time. If they were late, somebody else might have found them. But God has everything lined up in perfect order and in a situation because he knows who he wants to do what and when. God has a habit of waking me up at 4 o'clock in the morning to make me do things for him, and I'm not always willing, but I still get up. When God has something for you to do, you need to make sure you wake up and do what you need to do because that is your part of your responsibility for the kingdom of God. Amen? Praise God. Now, we're going to skip down to Luke 24 because what I enjoy the most is nobody remembered. They were with Jesus probably 4 or 5 days before, and he's been teaching them so much stuff for years, and suddenly they've forgotten everything he said. He had to remind, the women had to be reminded. This is what he said, remember? And then he himself had to remind them of what he said. I think this is why we as Christians, we need to continuously be in the Word of God. We need to continuously hear the Word of God, and we need to continuously hear from God. How soon we forget. So now, he has reminded them not only of what it says, and he says, this is what is written. The Messiah will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and repentance for the forgiveness of sin will be preached, kid Jesus, will be preached to all nations beginning at Jerusalem. You are the witness of these things, and I am going to send you what my Father has promised. He made a reminder of what they are supposed to do. He reminded them of what he was going to be doing, and he also reminded them that he made them a promise. We forget. And we need to be reminded all the time because we tend to not remember what we're to do, what he did, and what the promise was. My. And then we know that he ascended to heaven. Now, I want to take a quick look here at Ephesians 5 again, where we took our main scripture, and it basically explains to us everything we should and shouldn't be doing. When you get a chance, I need you to read it, but it says in 12, it is shameful even to mention that the disobedient do in secret. If Jesus left something with us and God is everywhere around us, then he can see everything. He is with us when we do everything, and he knows about everything. Praise God. And it says, but everything exposed by the light becomes visible, and everything that is illuminated becomes light. Wake up, sleeper. Rise from the dead, and the Christ will shine on you. Those ladies woke up and they went about what they were supposed to do, when they were supposed to do it. We need to wake up because we are asleep. We need to rise from the dead. Jesus did it, and so was we. We have a task at hand. We have a job to do. We have a prophecy to fulfill, and we have a promise to look forward to. Only when we wake up from sleeping and we rise from the dead. I don't want to be dry bones and ask if these dry bones can live. No, 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 no. I'm not going to let these bones become dry. Amen. Praise God. And it says, and Christ will shine on you. Only then. If you're serving and doing and all about so apparently God's business, you are still not alive if Lord Jesus Christ is not living within you. Only when you can truly say that you are filled with the Spirit of the Lord will you really be alive and no longer asleep and woken up, and then Christ will shine on you. Let's take a look at Romans 13 here. I want to do some reading here because we need to pay attention to a lot of what the Lord said. And this is important. Romans 13. Let everyone be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except that which God has established. The authorities that exist have been established by God. Consequently, whoever rebels against the authority is rebelling against what God has instituted, and those who do so will bring judgment on themselves. Time to wake up. In 3 it says, for rulers hold no terror for those who do right, but for those who do wrong. Do you want to be free from fear of the one in authority? Then do what is right, and you will be commended. For the one in authority is God's servant for your good. But if you do wrong, be afraid, for rulers do not bear the sword for no reason. They are God's servants, agents of wrath, to bring punishment on the wrongdoer. Therefore, it is necessary to submit to the authorities, not only because of possible punishment, so as a matter of conscience. You would only have your conscience react if you know deep in your spirit and in your soul that you've not done right. Guilt brings that conscience. Amen. The Lord God is that inner conscience. I'll keep reading. It says, this is also why you pay taxes. The authorities are God's servants who give their full time to governing. Give to everyone what you owe them. My mom and I had a chat about that yesterday. If you owe taxes, pay taxes. If revenue, then revenue. If respect, then respect. If honor, then honor. You give what is due to whomever it is due to. Amen? Now, it says here in 8, let no debt remain outstanding except the continuing debt to love one another. For whoever loves others has fulfilled the law. Commandments. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not murder. You shall not steal. You shall not covet. And whatever other command there may be are summed up in one command. My. Love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no harm to a neighbor. Therefore, love is a fulfillment of the law. And then we'll finish up here, and it says, and do this, understanding the present time. The hour has already come for you to wake up from your slumber, because our salvation is nearer now than when we first believed my word. The night is nearly over and the day is almost here. So let us put aside the deeds of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us behave decently as in the daytime, not in carousing and drunkenness, not in sexual immorality and debauchery, but in dissension and jealousy. And not in dissension and jealousy, forgive me. Rather, clothe yourselves with the Lord Jesus Christ. And do not think how to gratify the desires of the flesh. I'll say that line again where it says, my, we need to wake up from our slumber because our salvation is nearer now than we first believed. Wake up, sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. He woke up. He rose up. He lives. He has fulfilled his prophecy. Time for you to wake up, to rise up, to shine out. And fulfill your prophecy. Only then can the promise be fulfilled. He's gone where he needs to go to prepare a place. You can't have that promise unless you do what you're supposed to do to be able to get to that place. Time to stop sleeping. Wake up from your slumber. Wake up.
We're patiently waiting. If you don't have seed in the ground, rain is a nuisance.
But if you've been planting some things and you've been praying some things, when the rain comes, you can expect a harvest. Follow. This is for everybody who's been sowing a seed in a dry season. And you keep saying, I wonder where my harvest is. The harvest is connected to the rain. I'm telling you, there's a revival coming to this land. God is about to send the rain to this land. And every seed that you've sown and every prayer that you pray is about to come forth in harvest. That's why we say, we've been praying.
You know, God made a promise and he sacrificed. Remember John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And Jesus reminded them again before he went away, and he said that he would suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and repentance for the forgiveness of sin will be preached. He's a forgiving God. He loved you so much that he gave his only begotten son. And Jesus said that he is the resurrection, the life, and that if you believe in him, though he were dead, yet shall you live. He has gone and prepared a place that where he is, you may be also. It's okay. We have all messed up. We've all sinned. We've all backslid, and we've all have to hold on to the Lord each and every day. The disciples who walked with him even forgot what he told them. But we know with God, with grace and mercy, it says each day brings new mercies. Amen. It doesn't matter what you did yesterday. It doesn't matter what you did this morning. It doesn't matter what you did 15, 20 minutes ago. What matters is right now, right here, and right at this moment. Admit that you're a sinner. Believe in the name of Jesus as your Lord and King and Savior. And confess that you are a sinner. Once you've repented to the Lord God Almighty and nobody else, and believe in Jesus, then thou shalt be saved. And if you were already saved and know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, he's still there. He's never left you nor forsook you. You just have to say, forgive me. I need you back in my life. Every day will not be blessings and joy, but every day will make you stronger when you have the Lord God Almighty watching over you. Your prayer life is important, and your life of study of the Word of God to know where God would lead you and take you and what he has for you, because as you can see, we need to be reminded. And if you are already saved, you have a purpose and you have a mission. But despite keeping all those commandments, your greatest and hangs on all the law and the prophets is to love your neighbor as yourself. If nobody or others or any one person cannot see the Jesus in you, you need to reach out because the light needs to shine. Don't hide it under a bushel. Amen. The time is now. We'll be right back with our benediction. This is The Altar by Kirk Franklin featuring Marvin Sapp and Beverly Crawford.
Ashamed.
My.
At this point, I don't care who's looking at me. It's all at the altar. He will meet your need. Ooh. Yeah.
Amen. At the altar. Praise God. Yes, again we say thank you for joining us. If you need to reach us, we're on Facebook, Pastor J. Rouse or Rouse Ministries Broadcasting and Communications. By email, rouseministriesbroadcasting@gmail.com, pastorjrouse@gmail.com. Yes, at the altar, amen, praise God, when you kneel to pray. And our benediction, praise God. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Now unto him who is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and evermore. Amen. Because of you, Linda Clark. God be with you until we meet again. Wake up and slumber no more. He has risen. You've changed my name.
Broken spirit and a contrite I've made a decision. Decision. It's more than just a feeling. I've made a decision. Decision. Right here, right now. Whatever the cost. Whatever the cost. Myself and carry my cross.